For more great content, make sure you follow 717 Sports Media on all your podcast listening platforms. Also follow us on social media, on Twitter at 717_sports, Facebook and Instagram at 717 Sports Media. We're also checking on our website daily for your daily news and sports videos at 717sportsmedia.com.
Hi there, everybody. Colin Richardson here, back again with another little baseball talk podcast episode on 717 Sports Spotify page. Don't forget to check out my website too at langlebase.com. I'm going to talk today about some alumni people, some players who graduated from LL schools, are playing well in college, and I actually have two pros today. And then I'm going to talk about some games from last week, and then I'll talk about some games looking ahead to the next week. So I'll start off with some alumni people. First guy I wanted to give a shout to was David Woolley. He is a sophomore at Eton College, still in Lancaster, so kind of cool. He is slashing .422, .532, and .578 for a 1.11 OPS. So far for the Blue Jays this year, he has started all 16 games. He has 27 hits in 64 at-bats. He has 6 doubles and 2 triples for Eton. For Warwick, he was probably one of their best pieces for winning the state title in 2022. I remember in the state playoffs, he hit probably around 600 or 700 with some crazy number in the state playoffs. But he was a great contact hitter, great slap hitter for Warwick. And no surprise that he's doing well in college. The next two guys that I sort of picked for this week for alumni people are actually playing for the Lancaster Barnstormers, still in Lancaster, so it's kind of cool. The first guy I wanted to give a shout to who's playing for the Barnstormers is Kyle Hess. He graduated from Donegal in, I think, 2018, and then he went on to play at the University of Pittsburgh. At Pittsburgh, he had a .304 career batting average at Pittsburgh. He had 45 doubles, 27 home runs, 162 RBIs, and he had a .919 OPS. So he is one of the players who graduated from an LL school and is now going to play for the Barnstormers this coming summer. The other guy actually played for the Barnstormers last year, and he's coming back this year for the Barnstormers, is Joseph Carpenter. He went to Cedar Crest, and then he went to the University of Delaware. He started every single game that he appeared in all 4 years at Delaware. He had 177 hits over those 4 years. He had 40 doubles and 111 RBIs. He was a really good bat for the Barnstormers this past summer, and there's no doubt that he'll be another big piece for them. The Barnstormers are now looking to go 3 in a row in the Atlantic League. They won it in 2022. They won it in 2023, and now they're looking to win it in 2024. So good luck to them. I'll be probably covering a lot of them once high school ball and high school summer ball wrap up. And then the final guy that I wanted to give a shout to real quick was Jason Long. He is a freshman at Messiah. He graduated from Lampeter Strasburg. He was probably their best arm, at least last year, and I know he pitched, I think, his junior year and maybe his sophomore year as well. For Messiah on the mound this year, he has 32 innings pitched. He has allowed 10 earned runs. He has walked 11, and he struck out 17. In his decisions, he is 3-1 with a 2.81 ERA. And in his last outing against Albright on March 22nd, he almost had a complete game. He went 8.2 innings pitched with 1 earned run. He walked 1 and he struck out 9. So happy for him that he's getting his start at Messiah, as is his former teammate. Now they're also teammates at Messiah, is Isaiah Pareto. I think he's their center fielder now for Messiah. So happy for both of them, but I just wanted to shout out Jason Long because I saw his stats first. So now I'll get to some games from the past week that I wanted to look at, review, and then we'll look at some games going ahead to the week of the 25th. On Monday the 18th, that was when real games started. There were a few scrimmages, but that was the first day that there were actual games. Some of those games were Hempfield beat Northeastern 10-3. Logan Harrelson took a no-hitter into the sixth inning. Columbia also shut out Brandywine 4-0, so happy for them over there. The game that I was at on Monday was Anvil-Cleona beat Lancaster Mennonite 13-5. It was a Section 4 game to start the year. Again, like I sort of said last week, it was kind of different to have a section game to open your year, but it happened and Anvil won it. It was never really, well, I mean, there were times where it was one run difference or two run difference, but Anvil-Cleona was thoroughly in the lead of it the whole way through. Some guys who helped out with that were Cam Connolly. He was 3-for-4. He had 3 stolen bases and 3 runs. Colton Schaefer was another guy. He was 2-for-3 with a triple to right. He scored twice and he had 3 RBIs. So Anvil-Cleona is 1-0 already in Section 4 as Mennonite is 0-1 now. So a big win for the Dutchmen looking to get to league playoffs and beyond. Some other games from Monday were E-Town pretty handily beat Reading 15-1. I saw Luis Perez Alfaro. He had 3 hits for E-Town, including a home run. I think it was in the first inning. So set the tone definitely for that game and probably for the season. E-Town has some pretty high expectations. And that's a pretty good way to start 15-1. The other game on Monday that we saw was Pequea Valley beat Antietam 12-0. So they shut him out. So happy for the Braves over there. On Tuesday, there was one game, and I was at it. Warwick walked off Central York in 6 innings. It was 6 innings because it was getting too dark and both teams just agreed to, this is it. We can tie, you know, Warwick can walk it off. We'll see. And they did. Caleb Johnson was 2-for-3. He walked twice. He also had a home run to left. He also stole 3 bases and he scored 4 times. And then the, I'll say, star of the show for Warwick was Alex Fair. He had 7 RBIs for the Warriors, including the walk-off sac fly in the bottom of the 6th. I wrote down from the game he had an RBI in every single at-bat for Warwick. He drove in 7 of their 15 runs that day. It's pretty impressive. You know, obviously his teammates have to get on, but to swing a good bat like that to start the year, that has to be a good feeling. You know, 7 RBIs, all your teammates hugging you and stuff after the game, walk it off, you know. So I'm happy for him, happy for Warwick to get a win to start the year. And then some games on Wednesday were LS beat Octorara 7-6, and it was actually a walk-off. Octorara was leading, I think, 6-4 going into the bottom of the 7th inning. LS scored 3. Devin Aponte had the walk-off hit for LS. So LS starts their year 1-0. Some other games were Elko beat Middletown 4-3. And that was Brad Kreiser's first win as the Elko head coach. So happy for him. Hoping that Elko can keep building on it. Have a really good year. The game that I was then at on Wednesday was Garden Spot beat CV 8-1. Caleb Zimmerman was a double short of the cycle. He homered, he tripled, he obviously had a single. So Garden Spot, their offense broke it open, really. I think it was one inning where they scored 5 or 6 runs of their 8. So it was close, but it was cold. It was windy. There were a lot of foul balls that went out of play. It was kind of fun to watch. Ball popped up to second base and it somehow got out into foul territory. On the mound for Garden Spot was Ryder Hertzler. He threw 6 innings. He allowed 1 run. He struck out 9, so he had a really good start for Garden Spot on their first game of the year. Some other games from Wednesday were Donegal beat West York 9-4. Pequea Valley fell to Hanover 4-3. Penn Manor beat York Suburban 10-1. And Lancaster Catholic lost their season opener to Trinity at home 11-9. So I have a feeling that Catholic will quickly turn it around, and they'll be probably one of the more, probably one of the better teams in Section 4. So hopefully they turn it around before Section 3 starts. And then on Thursday, there were only two games. Cedar Crest, this is the one that I was at. Cedar Crest beat Central York 8-4. They scored 5 runs in the top of the 7th inning. They were losing it 4-3 going into it, obviously. And then they put a 5 spot up in the top of the 7th, took advantage of some Central York errors. They had some timely hits too, don't get me wrong. And then what I put down for Cedar Crest in this game is it was very strategic in the way that their runs scored. They scored 1 in the 1st inning, 1 in the 2nd, and 1 in the 3rd, and then they scored 5 in the top of the 7th. But what I was really not amazed by, but just sort of, I liked seeing it is, let's say a guy walked to get on base, and then let's say he stole second, and then it was like a sacrifice bunt or something to get him to third, and then it was a sacrifice fly to get him in. So I was very impressed with how precise Cedar Crest was in scoring their runs. So I think that Cedar Crest will make Section 1 very interesting. If not this year, I think that Cedar Crest will have a really good team next year. The only other game in the league was Anvil Cleona no hit Upper Dauphin in 5 innings. Colton Schaefer, he had a home run for Anvil Cleona. He had 3 RBIs. He also pitched and he struck out 10. He pitched 4 of the 5 innings in the game. He obviously allowed no hits. Noah Morcombe pitched the 5th inning. And shout out to Lebco Sports One on Twitter. He did a little write-up of the game and gave me those stats. So appreciate him. Go follow him on Twitter. He's a great guy. And that was Thursday. And then on Friday, there were a lot of games. A lot of teams got their season started. LS beat Donegal 7-1, and it was another combined no-hitter. There were three pitchers for LS, and Cooper Williams started on the mound, who was actually a freshman for LS. There's a lot of young dudes I know who are on LS, underclassmen, like freshman, sophomore. But LS will definitely be a driving force in Section 2. They'll be a tough to beat team. They're an established program in the county. Some other games from Friday were Manheim Township beat Solanco 6-1. And shout out to Coach Matt Kirchhoff. It was his 100th win as the township skipper. So happy for him. And I hope that he gets 100 more. Some other games from Friday, McCaskey beat Reading 5-4. Ephrata beat Cocalico, get this, 21-1. It was another combined no-hitter. Ephrata put up 11 runs in the top of the 7th inning to really put it away as if it wasn't when it was 10-1. Cam Sims threw 5.1 innings. He struck out 10. I think he allowed one walk, and then that guy, got around and scored. Nate Savage got 2 outs out of the bullpen. So Ephrata with a pretty handy win on Thursday. Columbia also beat Milton Hershey 9-1. Manheim Central beat Muhlenberg 4-3. And if you remember from last week, I sort of talked about it. They opened their season with Muhlenberg, won, ended their season with a run rule loss to Muhlenberg, and then the start of 2024, they opened it with another win against Muhlenberg. It was at their new field, their new turf field. I can't wait to get over here and watch a game. It'll be great. Central will be good in Section 3 again. Some players from that game were Kai Watson. He was 1 for 2. He had 2 RBIs in the game. And then Nolan Book came out of relief, and he had a 5-out save for the Barons. Lancaster Mennonite also beat Antietam 2-0. And that was, well, now they've matched their win total from last year, and their one win was against Antietam. So I say that to say it's good to get it out of the way now, and anything else that you can win or put up a really good fight to for Lancaster Mennonite is a plus. So happy for them they could, match their win total from last year and really build on it. You have the whole year now to look ahead to it. So I'm happy for them. One of the bigger games too from Friday was E-Town and Mechanicsburg, and Isaiah Shader pitched for E-Town, but it's ended in a tie. So, yeah. Really hyped up game. Two teams who are really have far expectations, but it ended in a tie, and that's it. Garden Spot also beat Pequay Valley 10-2. Garden Spot has two really dominant wins in their first two games, so they have some good momentum going into when section play starts. Like I said, they beat CV 8-1 and now Pequay Valley 10-2. So about, what, a 7-run differential, give or take. So Spartans will be good in section 3. Conestoga Valley also beat Octorara at home in their home opener 8-4. It's their first win of the season, so happy for the Buckskins over there in section 2. Hopefully they can make some noise. Two final games from Friday were Governor Mifflin shut out Hempfield 6-0. For Governor Mifflin, Ethan Grimm threw 6 innings, shutout ball, and he only allowed one hit to Josh Toole. And it was sort of a pop-up that just sort of dropped in no man's land. But, you know, he was really dominant. He had all his pitches working. Bryce Detweiler, who is committed to UConn, he had a grand slam for the Mule, or for the Mustangs, not the Mules. But it was a really dominant win for Mifflin. And then the final game was Gettysburg beat Warwick 5-0. I kind of joked with Coach Weissmandel after Tuesday's game where they walked off. I said, "Coach, do you know how to lose?" And he, you know, humbly said yes. But I just think back of so many crazy wins that I've seen him have. You could say basically any of those games in the district and state title run that they had in 2022. And then I just remember it like, you know, the back of my hand. I just remember that in the summer league, he sent a runner home from third base to tie the game in the top of the seventh inning. They were losing by one with two strikes, two outs. It's just, you know, I say that to say, Warwick will be very tough to beat. If you get a win against Warwick, you'll walk away from it knowing you deserved it. So, you know, they got shut out here, but I say that to say I don't think that'll happen a ton, at least getting shut out. We'll see what the Warriors can do in Section 1. Also on Friday, Northern Lebanon beat Lebanon 9-0. Adrian Gonzalez had a complete game shutout for the Vikings. It was 2-0 actually going into the last inning, and then Northern Lebanon really broke away in the top of the seventh, scoring 7. So another win for Northern Lebanon. I think that they'll be a very, very dominant force in Section 4. And that recaps the past week, and I'll look ahead to some games, like, you know, two or three games that catch my eye for the week of the 25th. So on Monday, Ephrata travels to Warwick. It's sort of a backyard rivalry. You know, I know they played this game in years past, and it'll be tough. It'll be fun to watch. I may run out there to watch it. Speaking of backyard brawls, backyard rivalries, Penn Manor travels to LS on Monday. That game really catches my eye more, I feel. I think that'll be good. Two solid baseball programs in the league facing off. You know, they're basically right next to each other. Final game for Monday was Garden Spot travels to Exeter. Two teams sort of looking to learn more about themselves, look how battle-tested they are. We'll see how that goes. On Tuesday, some games that I, not starred, but looked at thoroughly were Northern Lebanon takes on Hamburg, Octorara takes on McCaskey, and CV takes on Cocalico. I think that all three of those games will be close, interesting, kind of a 50-50 coin flip on who's going to win it. We'll see. On Wednesday, some games that I look at are Mannheim Central against LS. They obviously, like I said last week too, they played two times. LS beat them in the first round of league playoffs, and then they played in the regular season like this. So that'll be an interesting game. That's probably what I'll go cover. Some other games Wednesday is another rivalry game. Donegal takes on E-Town. That'll be another good one. And then Lebanon takes on Elko. So one of the Lebanon games up there, I'll give them a shout too. And then on Thursday, Penn Manor plays CV. Lower Dauphin travels to E-Town, and Lower Dauphin was one of the better teams in their league last year. I think they went 12-2 in the regular season in their, league section. So that'll be a good test for E-Town. And then Cocalico travels to Twin Valley. And I think that'll be really interesting because if you know anything about the Berks League, it's very skilled in their baseball division. It's very hard to win. There's a lot of good teams. And it'll be interesting. It'll be a good test for Cocalico to see where they stand in Section 3. So that's some of the games. And then there's only two games that I have down on Friday that are on the schedule as far as we know. York Tech takes on Columbia, and then Eastern York takes on Donegal. So both of those games will be interesting. I'm not sure really how those York teams really fare. I just know Central York sort of is one of the better teams over the last few years in York. So it'll be interesting to see those games. It'll be interesting to see all these games, maybe even the games I didn't shout out. So that just about does this episode. I know it's a little bit shorter because I didn't talk about every team, every game, but that just about wraps it up. Don't forget to follow me. ColinRich40 is my Twitter handle. And then don't forget to follow 717 Sports. Don't forget to check out my website for baseball. Me and my dad have been making a lot of changes to it, but changes to do team schedules specifically, like, if you look for Warwick or if you look for Cocalico, whatever team you're on will have your schedule little button to click on. So check those out. Check our website out. We work really hard on it. And that just about does it. Thanks.
For more great content, make sure you follow 717 Sports Media on all your podcast listening platforms. Also follow us on social media on Twitter at 717_sports, Facebook and Instagram at 717 Sports Media. We're also checking on our website daily for your daily news and sports videos at 717sportsmedia.com.